Raised on D&D Podcast helps to enrich your family's gaming experience by bringing you interviews with parents, educators, game designers, and influencers. Join us as we delve into the many ways that tabletop role-playing games inspire creativity, develop communication skills, and create long-lasting bonds among players. Your host has been an avid gamer since childhood, and now his kids are being raised on D&D. Here is your host, Nick Cardarelli.
Welcome back, gamers. I'm your host, Nick Cardarelli, and this is Raised on D&D. My next guest is currently living in Burbank, Washington. He's a longtime gamer whose experience spans from classic MMORPGs such as EverQuest to mud games like Dragon Realms. He is the creator of Modern Sam, a productivity and self-care app that actually works for people with ADHD. Please welcome Ryan Arneson. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, thank you so much. I sound so epic through that introduction.
Well, we're so glad to have you on the show. We're so excited. I'm using Modern Sam right now on my phone, and I love it. But before we talk about all that, can you take us back to your very first experience with Dungeons & Dragons tabletop RPGs?
The exact timeline in my head, I will admit, gets kind of fuzzy on what was first. I do feel like the Dark Tower board game deserves a shout out. I remember playing that in my grandpa's basement with my brothers and my cousin, and just it really captured like my imagination, because this board game in particular was also digital, right? But it was like old school, so it was really ahead of its time. But I just remember the feeling of like, you know, moving on the board and pushing this button, and you'd hear the sound of doors like opening, like you know, that creak sound, and then you either like find bad guys to fight, or you'll like find, you know, a sword to kill the dragon or something like that. And just it really capturing my imagination. And then my dad was just really into like fantasy shows and movies and stuff, so I was also just really enamored with those and like the hero's journey. And then with EverQuest, my older brother, he's 8 years older than me. When I would go to his apartment, he showed me that EverQuest game and had me create a character. And I was pretty much hooked from that moment on, with, you know, just role playing in general. For me, it's video games that really got me. I don't know if it's the ADHD instant feedback and me needing to just like anytime I want to swing a sword, I can do it. I know you're going to ask in a little bit about like an actual D&D game. And in that game, all I wanted to do was fight. So I'm probably that annoying player to a lot of people that just wants to be fighting and not really like do a dialogue and talking about things and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I haven't actually sat down and played D&D in person. I did play remote through the Modern Sam community. So, yeah.
That
answers your first question in a roundabout way.
I'm from all the way back. I have been a gamer for over 35 years, playing tabletop role-playing games, board games, video games, all that. And a lot of the MMOs that we played back in the day, EverQuest, City of Heroes, even the Star Wars Galaxies, all those things, they were based on Dungeons & Dragons as a rule set, right? So mm-hmm. All those things wrap up together. And I'm a professional dungeon master on startplaying.games. And I run games for people all over the world remotely through Zoom meetings and Roll20. So playing Dungeons & Dragons remote through the Discord community on Modern Sam, that definitely counts. Tell us, cool. Ryan, how that was. I know that was a recent experience for you, but how was that experience of playing Dungeons & Dragons?
I think the person who hosted it did a fantastic job, and I remember I rolled really well, and I was really stoked about that, but it was like a four-hour... they call it one-shot, right?
That's right.
Four or five-hour one-shot. So for me, with my ADHD and stuff, it was just like a long time to be sitting, just to be honest with that. But it's also a really fond memory for me that I can't completely access right now. No, it's like...
That's all right. wife also has ADHD, and she feels the same way about tabletop role-playing games, whether it's remote or in person, that she just wishes the sessions were more condensed. And I have been able to run some games that are only 2.5 hours long and be able to finish a one-shot story arc. It is a little more packed in, but yes, the 4-hour time slots, those are difficult for most people, never mind someone with attention deficit disorder.
I actually do want to play a game in person. It's still on my list of things to do, but
Washington has, I know you're in rural Washington, but I know Washington has a huge gaming community, and the best way to get in a one shot, I feel, is at conventions. So going to a game day at a local game store, or going to a citywide or statewide convention, those are always a great way to experience tabletop role-playing games in person, usually with some really, really good game masters and dungeon masters. That's terrific. So Ryan, you are not only a gamer, but you are also a husband and a father. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
How many children do you have and how old are they?
Yeah, 2 kids, 10 and 8. Just one wife. But it's like they say, Wheel of Fortune, I'm married to the best wife in the world.
Have you started to game with your children as well, either at the tabletop or gaming electronic games with them?
Oh, yeah. So I've really tried to include my kids as much as I can also in the development of the app, which I know we're going to talk about later. So maybe I'll save a little bit of that part of the conversation. But at one point, I actually had drawn these character boards for my kids. And it's so funny how I just haven't played that much D&D and how much overlap there is. Like you said, it inspired all those games that I did play, so it's kind of like the same thing. But I had these character boards for them, and you know, they would earn points and stuff like that, and I just had it written down at first as like an experiment to see if it would work. And it really didn't. No, it did at first, but then long term I didn't stay consistent enough with it either. So but yeah, as far as gaming and board games specifically, our daughter loves Monopoly. So we definitely play that one. My wife isn't as crazy about that one. And it's kind of funny because I can sit through a game of Monopoly, as I'm just saying, I can't, you know, sit through the other. But we do take quite a few breaks, and often we pause the game and like finish it another day. Mm-hmm. It's tricky to keep it from getting destroyed by the kids in the next day or two. But lately we've been into a game called Last Chance, which is actually just like a poker, kind of like a poker game where you just roll dice, kind of like Yahtzee mixed with poker. What else? Okay, Roblox. My kids are obsessed with Roblox, so we play that together, and I'd say a couple times a week they're like, ready to play Roblox? And we do this game called Pet Show, where you actually dress up a character. So like there's a theme, it'll be like, you know, cutest bear or something like that, and then you take your little bear pet through all these inventory lanes of like shirts and hats and things like that, and dress it up. And then everyone votes at the end on the best mm-hmm. one. So that's actually been really fun because it's pretty simple too. And then I've tried to get, I mean, we play Switch and Mario Kart and all those, you know, those things as a family, but I tried to get actually in my office here. I just redid it, but I had 2 L-shaped desks so I could set up like a traditional LAN and play Lord of the Rings online. That's an MMO with my kids, but that turned out to be pretty stressful, and they just weren't ready yet for like something like an MMO, I don't think, or I just didn't have the patience or combination. But then like the computer wasn't, you know, one of them is an older computer, so it was having like graphics card issues, and like just trying to keep all 3 of us going. And I was just like, we'll try this again in the future. But yeah, video games are definitely love those. And my son loves Minecraft, so I'm not really into Minecraft personally. I mean, I think it's an amazing game, like I appreciate Minecraft, but it's too open world for me or something. Like I need an objective or something. But I do enjoy watching my son play it, and he likes to have me come in there and like look at his like hidden rooms that he's built in Minecraft and stuff like that. So I definitely think video games are an integral part of our lives that we play every day. So, or board games. Board games are probably more like once a week, but love gaming.
That's fantastic. I have three children myself. There are little stair steps. They're actually now 18, 16, about turned 17, and 15. And we've been gaming together basically their whole lives. I introduced them to Dungeons and Dragons and tabletop role-playing games very early on. They were like 4, 3, 2.5 at the time.
Wow, yeah.
And so I've got these great pictures of them sitting around. The youngest one had to have enlarged dice so he wouldn't choke. Things like that.
My kids did love Dark Tower because my grandpa gave that game to me, so it's like a prized thing on the top shelf now, and they do love it. But the battery, you can't pause it. So if it dies, you're out of luck. So you need a good 2 hours at least of undivided attention to play it. But I was just sorry to interrupt you. But
No, that's all right.
I just remembered that, yeah, that game definitely captures their attention. So it did a good job considering how old that game is and kids with their technology these days. So
I think it's wonderful that you were able to pass that down to your children and they get to experience Dark Tower like you did when you were younger. That's fantastic. So gaming with family is very important, I think, because it really creates the bonds with our children outside of things like outings and obligations and schoolwork and things like that. It really takes it to a different dimension and allows us to relax and have fun and enjoy while also communicating and interacting. So it's really, really important. And I think it's wonderful that you're gaming with your children and your family all together.
Our kids are supposed to do chores, though. Is that what I'm hearing? I'm going to need some help and tips from you on that one for sure.
All right. For sure.
Eventually, this app is going to have more of that focus for kids and stuff. But, you know, that's in the future. So,
Ryan, tell us about Modern Sam and more importantly, where the idea originated from that you decided, you know what, I need to make an app like this. Can you tell us the origin story?
Ooh, yeah. Buckle up. No, I'm just kidding. I was kind of obsessed with finding the right app for me. So I would to help motivate me, to kind of help me organize my life better and things like that. And I just was always shocked that there wasn't an app that was a crossover with personal development and gamification. And I mean, I was surprised about this for a long time. I don't even know exactly how long ago this goes, but there have been apps that have done it, but for me, they didn't work for some reason, right? There's like some sort of ingredient in this concoction that just didn't work. So it's like in Zelda, you throw those ingredients into a bowl and you get a failed, you know, get a failed recipe. That's how it felt to me. It was like, these are so close to what I want, but not quite there for whatever reason. So I got in this pattern of just downloading apps and, you know, trying them out. And sometimes they'd like last for 5 minutes. Sometimes I would keep them for like a day. It probably never went more than that. I don't know if you're familiar with Finch Self-Care. That one is a little newer. And I actually think they're doing great things, but to me, the style is like too cutesy. Like, so it just doesn't work for me, but I know it works for a lot of people. So I'm happy to give them a shout out because I just want people to find tools that work for them. But I also have people that have come from Finch and been like, this app works for me a lot better. And then Habitica might be one you've actually heard of. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, that's the other one. That's the actual game, like more RPG lens. For me, it didn't work also because of stylistic reasons. Like, it's pixel art. To me, it feels like kind of outdated. But again, it's an amazing concept, right? So I would just try all these apps, and then like, I struggle a lot with like self-doubt and stuff, which is probably part of the reason I got these apps in the first place. But then just, I guess, with to summarize it, over time, I got enough confidence to just be like, hey, you know what? No one's building this thing. I've been waiting for this thing to happen forever. So I guess I'm just going to try it and see what, like, see how it goes. So with ADHD comes this rejection sensitivity thing. I don't know if it's disorder, more of a, I think of it more as like a symptom of ADHD for some, and some people struggle with it more than others. And of course there's always comorbid things like anxiety, but like, for me, that's, I think that's part of like the self-doubt and stuff. But then I've been trying to reframe that lately as, okay, well, how has that helped me? Right? Because it means I'm questioning it like crazy. So I always have like 1,000 ideas of how to improve it, but just not enough time. So I decided to finally go for it. I was really into reading like self-help books and things like that, but realized I was kind of stuck in like a rumination pattern. And then I found out that like anxiety actually gives you dopamine. And then like, so, and that was shortly after I was diagnosed with ADHD. See, I'm going to jump all over. And I was diagnosed with ADHD at like 34. So like 3 years ago. So it hasn't been that long.
So you've been experiencing ADHD your whole life, but just recently been diagnosed in the last few years, is what you're saying.
Correct. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I actually, I think I was probably one of those people, which is nothing wrong with this, but they would just kind of joke about having ADHD sometimes, like in moments. But I don't think it really was as bad until I had kids, honestly. I couldn't really, the coping mechanisms and stuff that I had brought with me my whole life didn't really work once I had to like care for other people, humans, and I had a full-time job and all that stuff. So it just kind of started becoming more obvious, and I had chronic migraines every single day of my life between, I'd say, ages 19 to 34. There might be a day here and there where I wouldn't have them, but I was going to the doctor all the time, trying new meds and things like that. And I tried acupuncture and all these things. Anyway, I know we probably don't want to get off on that side of things too much, but my ADHD diagnosis and, you know, the medication I got from that actually did basically cure my migraines, which is really shocking. So,
wow.
I don't know. Maybe there's one person listening that's like, oh my gosh, I have migraines. I don't know. Maybe it'll, but yeah. So that was surprising. So the best thing in my life is my migraines are better. But then I'm also, let's see, how do I bring all this back together? My ADHD. So yeah, that kind of gave me more of a purpose, I guess, to the app. Right? Because I had this idea of at first of making it more of like a coaching app, like, you know, Modern Sam. I'm sure people get the reference, the hero's companion, the person that's kind of, you know, carrying your pots and pans for you. But that's kind of where the inspiration came from, was that we all need a Sam. And I think I've seen that meme online quite a few times. Every hero needs a Sam, or something along those lines. And I know there's Samwise Gamgee, and there's Samwell Tarly, and then there was also like Sam from Marvel, and like there's some other ones too. So it's just I just thought that would be a really cool name for it. But taking all that stuff together, kind of getting rid of my confidence. Actually, it's funny, I burned a book that I was reading called Courage is Calling, just to be like a symbolism of, I have courage, I don't need to read about it anymore. The author would appreciate that, but I could not find the video. I tried to find it on my phone, and I was like, this is going to take 7 years to find a video on my phone. But, you know, I made a website, and I have like my history, my professional career is, you know, graphic design, visual design. I actually work for Gonzaga University, which we're playing in March Madness here in a couple days. I'm guessing there's not a ton of sports people on here, but you never know.
Well, Ryan, I'm going to share with you a little bit about my experience with Modern Sam, because I have been on it for weeks now, and I'm super excited about it. In fact, I've enjoyed it so much, I've become a lifetime member. And so I am super, super excited. Now, I, too, am not diagnosed as of yet with ADHD. Mm-hmm. However, I do exhibit some of the symptoms. One of the very first things, my very first impression was when I downloaded the app. Of course, I saw the ad on Facebook and it automatically meshed with me with the fantasy and the staying on task and being efficient. So I've had some problems recently with motivation, with staying on task, with getting things accomplished. And right out of the gate, I download the app, I create an account. I roll to see what things I can put on my list of to-dos. Mm-hmm. And what jumped out at me was it wasn't really involved stuff like I could go volunteer at a soup kitchen today and help with the homeless or the infirmed or something like that. But then there was something like write a list of things that you're joyful about. Mm-hmm. And then there was, you know, do this one yoga pose. It wasn't do 30 minutes of yoga, right? It was do this one yoga pose.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they were very doable. Take out the trash, do the dishes. And one of the things that I enjoyed about that was I was like, hey, wait a minute. I was already going to do one of these things today.
Yes. Yes.
And I was like, okay. You know what? I can get a feeling of accomplishment by being like, I get to click the app, I get to get gold coins, and I get to get potions, and I get to go fight monsters because I did the dishes. And because it wasn't this big, complicated choice, and what I like is there's so much variety. There's so much variety in the choices of what to do in the day that what it did was it allowed me to ease into it to... Like, I remember one of the yoga poses I picked was like laying down. I was like, I can do a laying on the ground yoga pose. That's perfect.
Corpse pose. Yeah.
Yes, corpse pose. Yep. I'm like, yes, I can do. Look, I'm doing yoga. I can tell people I did yoga today, right?
Yeah.
So I'm clicking on that, right? And I'm like, okay, great. So I'm knocking these out. But then what it does is, once you've eased into it, then you can say, like, one of my favorites is paint something. Well, like most tabletop gamers, I have more unpainted role-playing miniatures than I have painted role-playing.
Yep,
right?
Yep, okay.
So when I saw paint something today, I thought, oh, okay, I could paint a picture, I could paint a wall. And then I went, wait, you know what I could do? I could paint some of my minis that I never, ever take the time to paint. But one thing I want to share with you, Ryan, is that painting miniatures for me is very, it's almost like a meditation. Yep. It blocks out all the distractions, all the racing thoughts, all those things. And it's just me and the miniature and the concentrating and working on it and, you know, brush strokes and things like that. So it's very, very positive self-care. It's so this particular activity is very helpful for me. And it's something that I rarely, if ever, take time to do. And so by putting it on my Modern Sam app, paint something today, has allowed me to go, it's on my to-do list. I've got to do it. I've got to take the 20, 30 minutes out of my day to sit down, throw some paint on a miniature, relax, breathe, and not stress. So the app has all of these amazing lists. And then, of course, once you're getting through your grind of daily tasks, then, of course, there's the fun part where you get to fight monsters, and we'll talk more about that. But I really wanted you to know that I have been using the app for weeks now, and it has really helped me, especially on days. My days off now have become a little difficult because for the first time in about 15 years, both my wife and I are working outside of the home. And so we're on opposite rotations as far as shifts go. And so I'm finding myself kind of left to my own devices. And I'm having hard time motivating myself to get things done. And so that's what made me, when I saw the ad for Modern Sam, made me go, hey, this might help me get back on track and be productive. And that way I'm not wasting days scrolling or some other mindless activity when I, at the end of the day, say to myself, man, there was so much I could have got done and I didn't. So that was really, really positive for me. So, yes. Ryan, what helped you realize that people using the app would need more simple, more obtainable goals mixed in with more complicated, more intricate objectives?
Yeah. Gosh, I love, thank you for sharing that too. It's funny, but I actually got a little bit emotional while you're talking, just because just these reminders are really good for me. Because I kind of have that inner sense of like not being enough. And I kind of mentioned that before. So to me, I needed an app that at the end of the day would help me like reflect sometimes on the things that I had already achieved or already accomplished. So that's a little bit of it, but then just like how we define self-care is maybe different than what people would traditionally think of as like, oh, I'm taking a bath. Like those things matter too, but it's this like balanced mindset that we're really about of, okay, some days this app is going to help you be productive and some days this app is going to help you like just rejuvenate or like orient your mindset in a healthier way. And it's, I'm not going to lie. It is. I do think it's quite challenging to have an app that tries to do both those things. I'm very happy to hear that it's working for most people. And like your story and, you know, I've had so many people that just have said how much this app has really changed their lives. And like, sometimes I just like, oh my gosh, it fills my cup. But, and like, I don't know if you're familiar with the author Brandon Sanderson, I'm sure you are, but like Wheel of Time and Mistborn and all those things. Yes. But I remember reading something he said once was that one of the reason he writes is to make, I might get this wrong, but I think I have it right, to make people feel things, like to feel. And that, I mean, that is a big part of what I'm trying to do with Modern Sam. Because I think if you can connect on that level, you can really help like with people's, you know, mindset. And anyway, so to get the actual quests that were in there, the first thing that I had to figure out was how I break daily things into four archetypes, right? And of course, I was like, how many archetypes should there even be? And what do I name them? And I, you know, I go, that took forever. But, you know, we went with Warrior, Magician, Healer, and Ranger. And I have someone that's helping me kind of define these things even better now. Their name is Danny, if they're listening. So thanks for your help with those. But really the community, when I first started with all this, I would just post on Facebook. I posted on Facebook and be like, all right, I need some Magician quest ideas, right? And then people would just kind of dump those. The bad thing is I'm not really good at like data, or it's shocking, right? Data, like organization and management boards, bores me in spreadsheets. So I have to go back a couple years and like find these posts to pull stuff from. But some of it's from the community. Some of it is just stuff that was from my head, I guess. The town quests or the side quests are just really a balance of, like you said, some things that are easier, some things that might be more challenging. Like on Facebook this week, I've seen a few people like joined a gym, which that's stressful to a lot of people to hear. So if you're out there hearing that, just, I understand it's stressful. So, but that was supposed to be an epic quest actually. And in the code, we have it like flagged as that, but we don't have that feature yet. So like in the future, we're going to have ones that you can like accept that are like, you know, extra points, and they're actually you're gonna fight bosses and stuff together. It's gonna be pretty cool. Like we're not there yet, but and then you have smaller things like brush your teeth, and then people are like, some people are like, why is this in there? But then you also get people that are like, that really helped me, I'm back on track to doing this again or something like that. Yeah. So I try to just, an analogy recently I thought of is like a Swiss Army knife. Like sometimes that might seem like an excessive tool, but it also, it can work for a lot of people and it's really versatile. So that's a good way, I think, to describe it. Yeah. So are you all the way through the story yet too? Have you gotten, are you started on that?
So I am not through the story yet. In fact, when I started my lifetime membership, I it said you had to use the email and so I had to like, start all over. So like I'm doing right. that now. So yes, I haven't made it through the story. I'm still on chapter one and, I really enjoyed, there was the quiz that kind of lets you know which of the four archetypes you fall into. And that kind of was helpful. And then I like the fact that each of the daily tasks are tied to one of the archetypes. So one day I'm doing, you know, I tried to balance it out, or I tried to do all of one kind of thing. So like I'll do like four ranger tasks a day, or I'll do like a ranger, magician, a healer, warrior task, thing like that. And that's just kind of fun for me because I can look at the list and I can go, well, when's the last time you did a wizard quest? You know, that kind of thing. And
right.
Click on that. So it's been helping me to diversify that to-do list. And that also helps keep my interest and keeps me excited about doing it and doing the different things.
How my daughter interacts with the app at night. Just, you mentioned the whole, like, you know, things you were already going to do that day. So it's really cute. She basically will roll each night right before bed. And she'll mark off things that she already did that day. So it's even taking it to the next level. And I just think that's really healthy. So I thought that was cool. So I will do that. Like I'll do kind of a mix where like, I'm like, okay, I already did this or whatever. And then things that I want to do, but she's using it in a completely different creative way, like to just claim things. And of course, like sometimes she tries to stretch it. Like, if she should get those points or not. Like, I think there was one that was like, take out the trash. And she's like, well, I threw a piece of garbage away. Does that count? That kind of stuff. I'm like, I'll let you decide on that one. So yeah, it's cute. And then she actually listens to the story on a loop at bedtime, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Right. She knows the story better than I do at this point. Cause I forget. So if I have questions about keeping continuity or stuff in the story moving forward, I could just go to her and be like, hey, what did I say about this? And like, she'll know. So the stats actually matter. Now they're going to matter more. Like they're going to have, you know, ability to like level up skills and stuff, but they do actually matter, which I thought was important in battle. Right. So they're not just a number, even though maybe that's enough for some people. For me, I need these numbers to do something.
Now, I know a lot of people are interested in the actual fighting monsters part of the app, which I find is very enjoyable. And so as you complete the daily task, you get not only gold coins and bone fragments, but you can also get
cards
and the potions of luck. Right. And so then you go on the hunt. And you're encountering these random monsters and they have different levels from like common, uncommon, all the way up to rare, right? Epic.
Yep.
And so I've been fighting some monsters. I was surprised by some of them. Like I was like, okay, bats and skeletons. Uh-huh. Okay, I get that. And then there was a moose and I was like, moose. Well, those... I had to do some research. I found out moose are very deadly. People apparently get killed by.
Where are you from again?
I'm down here in sunny central Florida where we don't have any
moose. Okay, yeah.
versus bordering
the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. The Pacific Northwest. So yeah, so I was like, oh, a moose. So yeah, I guess I could fight a moose. Okay. And then of course you have mythical monsters like harpies and werewolves and things like that. So it's been a lot of fun. Fighting these monsters, and some of these battles are really, really tough. And so I've really enjoyed that aspect of it. So tell the folks at home that are listening a little bit more about the combat and how that's going and how it's going to be developed.
also, I just want to say, like, one of my main goals with all of this is to make the experience, like, as immersive as possible, right? So going back to Dark Tower, when you start your battle, it's kind of like the same feeling as opening the gates of that door and seeing what's inside, right? So you have to search to find a beast. And then, you know, if you find one, you get the music, which is really similar to Dark Tower, really. And it's also similar to a lot of, like, MMOs. So if you go into combat in an MMO, or any, maybe just any video game, there's, like, those four sounds from every creature, right? So there's, like, the creature attacks you sound, the creature gets hit sound, the creature dies sound. So every beast that we've designed, which we do, like, our own concept art and illustrations for all of them. So all of them, they're all unique. Like, we, the only thing we use AI for is the task breakdown. Mm-hmm. So we don't really use, I'm not saying whether I'm for or against it or anything like that, but we use it for task breakdown, which has been really helpful. But for the beast, like, the consider system is what it's called, like con, they would call it con. So, like, I remember in Dark Age of Camelot specifically, which is my personal all time favorite MMO, EverQuest was my first one, but Dark Age was my favorite. Like, there was a purple Salisbury giant. So that game inspired one of the characters in the app. And purple just meant, like, instant death. Like, if you go up to this creature, it's going to stomp you with its foot and you're dead. Unless you have a party of eight people and you guys know what you're doing. Like, and even in that point, like, you got to be a certain level. And then red was like, okay, by yourself, you're going to die for sure. With one other person, you might have a chance. Orange was like, you better be really good at the game by yourself to beat it. And then it was like blue or green, things like that. Like, you could fight, like, a beetle might be a blue or something. So that's kind of where the idea for the stars and the rarity came into play.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to say? Oh, but we have, like, but then it's kind of a crossover with the idea of a Pokemon type system where you collect the cards, right? And there's more rare cards, so then, like, the tougher, it's kind of the more rare ones or the harder ones is what we decided to do. People love the Toadlands, though, right? And they're for the most part the easier ones, and we're actually releasing 7 new cards with the next app update, which was going to be today, but it looks like it might be tomorrow. And we're also speeding up combat just a little bit. I know that's a small thing, but
I really enjoyed the cards. I was surprised by that as well. At the end, defeating a monster, it would add to your collection, and you could fill up, you know, the common and uncommon, and each level filled up with different monsters. And I thought that was
completionist
really
like mindset of people have loved it. It's been fun to watch. But then I'll release new cards, and they're 100%. Collections will change in the future, though. We'll have, like, oh, the original collection, and, you know, maybe even get other artists involved and things like that. It already is exciting, but it's
now the Toadlands.
I can't help but think about the future.
The Toadlands are kind of like a goblinoid like little creature. They're adorable, yep, by the way. And I love that they're kind of the mascot for your app. So tell us a little bit about the Toadlands, like how that idea came about. Is it based on something else, or is that a
No, that's it's
idea?
Really fun. It's really fun how it started. So the concept artist, his name's Kenneth. He's actually my cousin. I sent, like, basically he agreed to do some concept art, you know, for the app. He's one of the people who helped define the style for like the characters and things like that. I had an idea of what I wanted, and he's just been awesome at executing. But I sent him a task in Trello, because I was using just to create a goblin, and he sketched this goblin, and that's what ended up being a Toadland. And I was like, in my head, I was like, this doesn't look like a goblin really, but I was like, I love this creature. So he really does, and that was the first Sloppy McWaffles is his name. And I think what I wanted was I remember now, it was for Kickstarter, and I wanted a goblin holding a coin. Okay. And gosh, I don't know where he is. I have a little 3D minifigure, actually.
Wow.
So, STL file that people can use too if they want to paint him. But that was, yeah, he created him. And then I wrote him into the story because I loved him so much. And he looked like a half toad, half goblin. So we just named him Toadlands. He's the only good one, you know, the rest are all kind of those evil, like minion or like rabbits, you know, those like those kind of creatures, I guess. So they're the Night Queen's, the Night Queen's minions, I guess you could say. But you'll get through the story more and learn more of that. But yeah, it's just, it's kind of fun just having, you know, building the world and writing it and like trying to weave it all together, as we go along. But that's how those evolved, and people loved them, the Toadlands. Like, you know, they're just crazy guys. They're adorable too. So
I love having in the tabletop role-playing game community, we call him Boblin the Goblin, right? He's the one goblin that the party just for some reason decides to adopt, and he's a companion to the heroes when all the other goblins are, you know, things that you just wholesale slaughter because they're evil, right? And so I love that about the Toadlands. They're really adorable, really unique, and it just gives so much flavor to the app. So, Ryan, tell us what the future of Modern Sam is looking like.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, I could easily just say bettering and improving it. But what I will say is one of the biggest priorities we have is more of a social engagement like component inside the app. So I'm not sure if we're going to have things full-blown like chat and stuff like that just due to moderation of something like that. We might just stick with like having Discord or something like that. But having the houses, right? So you said you took the quiz. Having some sort of like component in the app where you're competing with a different three-faction system, which comes back to like the ideas with Dark Age. But Dark Age of Camelot also borrowed from like Arthurian legend and stuff, so they don't technically have ownership over a lot of that stuff either. But yeah, so three faction system, maybe you'll join a focus timer or something like that, and while you're focusing you'll get these points for your house, and you know, you'll see the three different like realms or houses that you're competing with, get points for those, having like boss battles where you can join your friends, being able to like assign tasks to friends and things like that. I know people want to be able to assign things to their kids. I'd like to be able to. So that's a big factor in it. I would say, even though I'm delighted to hear how much you love the combat, all I can think about is how to make it better still. Like I'd really like to be able to like, you know, just like swing my phone to attack or something like that, like more like Pokemon style, like where it's a little more interactive. But I think just having like more options for battle, I think that's probably the next place it'll go, where it's like, okay, instead of just like a standard attack, I'm going to use this special like bow skill or something like that, that like lines up with your archetype points and things like that. The story is chapter 6 right now. So I'm just going to be continuing to edit and pump that out. We have the next two chapters already written, but it's kind of a lot of work to get them edited and limitless possibilities, but right now we're just like basically a team of two people that are working like on the app all the time, right? And then we have other people that have volunteered, or the other people that are part of the team that are also helping, like Bonnie in Australia on social media. But yeah, it's cool. It's a really small team, which I like. I don't know really part of fun of it is I don't know what the future is going to bring. We appreciate everyone that supported it, because we'll get there.
Well, I really like that there is a strong community, especially in social media. Your Discord is great. There are so many people there having conversations, supporting each other. I was really, really enjoying that. One of the daily tasks, share your wins with the community, right? And that's what I did. I went on there and I was telling people, hey, I cooked a meal for someone I loved. I painted a miniature, those kind of things. And people were so supportive. Like nobody was like, oh, you did one of the simple tasks. You didn't do something complicated. They were very, wow, great job, amazing, keep going, those kind of things. And I think that also helps a lot that you surround yourself with people who are who are wanting to improve themselves, who are wanting to do that productivity and that self-care. They want that kind of thing. And I think it's so much easier when you have a team. And I love that you're going to put into the app more of that community and more of that combined effort. I think that's great. I think that's really a beautiful thing that you're doing, building a community like that. And so, Ryan, I've got to thank you for that and for the app. It's just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. No, this community has been awesome. Really. Like, I remember this quote was like, community is a lever of your dreams or something like that. And, you know, I drew up a while back this picture of me as like a hobbit in a house, like kind of sleeping or something. And then, like, you know, I was scared to answer the call. And then I heard that quote and I just remember thinking, okay, so maybe there are a lot of people out there that really are going to believe in this if I put it out there, and it's not, you know, going to just be rejected like that. And I was true. Like, I mean, yeah, there's going to be those people out there that still question, like, no matter what, like, you can't please everyone, even as much as I want to. I want to pull that, like, Leslie Knope, take the person bullying who doesn't like it and make them like it. But there's going to be 1 out of 100 or whatever that don't, but that's okay. And the community, like I said, I mean, there's people who have contributed in ways that have really impacted the app. And, you know, we had someone who named, like, the Night Queen's weapon, the Sorrow Speaker, that was just in the community that, like, put that idea out there. And I was like, we're doing that. Like, you know, so it is cool. It's fun. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming just to keep up with it all. But I'm just so thankful for the community, too. They've been so great. So I appreciate you acknowledging that, too.
Well, Ryan, now people can get Modern Sam through the App Store, and it's available for Android, and is it Apple compatible as well?
Yes. Yep. Okay. Those are the two that you can get it for. Yeah.
And so tell the folks at home, I'm going to put all of the links in the show notes, but for the folks at home that are listening in their cars, tell them where they can find you, where they can follow, and where they can get Modern Sam and get involved in the community.
Yeah. So modernsam.com. I've really tried to make the website kind of highlight everything. There's two links at the top of the website, one for Apple and one for Android. Once you take the quiz, you'll be sent a link for Discord and stuff like that. But you can also get there quicker by just scrolling to the bottom of the website, modernsam.com. And there's links for Facebook, the Facebook group, and Discord. I know the quiz has been a hit with people. I know that's what really kind of caught the attention, I think, with a lot of people. So that's fun. I love a good quiz, too, obviously.
Anyway. That is terrific. Ryan, thank you so much. Thank you for everything you're doing for the gaming community. Thank you for being on Raised on D&D today. It was
such
a pleasure. And yeah, we're going to have you back on as the app develops, the community builds, and have you back on again for an update. It'd be great.
Oh, I'd love to join again. Thank you so much. Really, it was a pleasure. So,
thank you for joining us on another episode of Raised on D&D Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow on all your favorite apps and social media.